Speak to you this morning about faith. And it seemed like that as the Lord began to talk to my heart, it's one of those subjects that is bigger than big. And it can't hardly be covered in one little message. And I need prayer to be able to condense it enough that we can get a hold of it. We're getting started rather late. So I desire the Lord to help me. It seems as though to me that the messages are linking up. That's the term that seemed like the Lord spoke that to me, that the messages are just coming together. You remember that I have said before that the messages are stacking up. I believe the Lord is still preparing us. It seemed as though that I was looking back and considering when I was young and the kinds of messages that I remember had more doctrinal type messages. There were a lot of messages on the Church of God. And we, at when we were young, we may not have understood it, but we believed it. And I remember that my brother went into the military and got into an argument with a Catholic. And he was just so emphatic. There's only one church and it's the Church of God. And he really didn't even understand it. But we grew up with those kinds of messages and we believed it. And I believe that it established us. And it caused me to think about a scripture concerning Jehoshaphat in 2 Chronicles 20:20, and I'm just going to give you part of it. It said, Jehoshaphat said, "Hear, ye inhabitants." He said, "Believe the Lord your God, and so shall you be established." And then he said, "Believe his prophets, and ye shall prosper." And I believe that the kind of messages that I grew up with, and that others my age might have grown up with, whether we understood it fully or not, it established something in us. And I believe that we prospered, whether we knew it or not. Later, it caused me to, I believe this was the way. And so it wasn't a question of where is the way. I knew this was the way. So I believe that it did make a difference. And I feel that the messages of our day have a slightly different context. We still have the fundamental truth. And we believe that we believe in all of the established teachings and the doctrines of the Church of God. We still believe there is one true way. We still believe in the truth. And yet the messages that might have been preached when I was growing up, they're still the same message, but they may not be preached today. And I'll give you an example. We heard many messages growing up of "come out of her, my people." We heard many messages like that. But it's not seemingly the message of the hour today. And I believe that God works that way. I believe that he has messages for each generation. each age, I believe there is a time for this kind of a message. And I think that many of our messages right now are more of warnings to the righteous, maybe instructions. We have more instructions to make sure that our calling and election is sure. We hear messages on the straight and the narrow way versus the broad way. We'll hear messages on love. We'll hear messages on maintaining salvation, or we hear messages concerning, we should be hearing messages concerning sanctification. It's a very important message of the hour. But most of all of the messages in the last several years have been to people that have a certain amount of understanding, as people with a vision. I don't find, over my ministry, I have preached very few messages to the lost. And there's a reason. Most people do not claim to be sinners. It's not popular to say, well, I am a sinner. And when I was growing up, people openly admitted if they were lost or if they were a sinner. They didn't try to cover it up. And now we're in a different age. And so we're preaching the word, and it takes the Holy Spirit then to let it find lodging in the hearts of the people and whatever their need is. If someone is a hypocrite and they're living below the standard, it takes the Holy Spirit to bring that conviction. It can't seem to be the fingers being pointed out. It just doesn't work that way. So as we, this message, our subject will be on faith. In light of all of the messages, they all had to be by faith. And I'm going to use the phrase that we've used in the other messages, as we see the day approaching. As you and I feel do you feel the darkness around us? Do you feel the pressures? I believe we do. As we sense, do you sense an attack on faith? I believe there is an attack against faith in God. I feel it. I sense it. I think of the question that Jesus spoke of his return, and he said, will I find faith? And I have believed and I have preached that yes, I believe he will find faith. I want him to find faith in me. And I believe that his people want to be the people of faith. I believe that. And yet I feel that there is a great attack against even the faith of God's people. We know that faith is low out there. But you and I are being contested in our faith as well. I feel it. I sense it. Actually, for Jesus to ask that question, he had to know. There was a reason for his question. It would definitely imply that there was a great possibility that faith would be at a very low ebb when he returns. We know, you and I know, that unbelief has always affected faith. The enemy is trying to affect our belief. He wants us to have doubts. He wants us to be under fear. He wants us to be under imaginations. Because he knows that imaginations will affect our faith. That's just how it is. Remember, God does not have grace for imaginations. So Jesus asked this question, and he wanted us to consider our faith. He wants you and me to be totally aware, just as aware of his return. He wants us to be very aware of our faith every day. Someone said, have you ever heard of so many needs among the church? Have you ever heard so many requests? And I had to say, no. And we have to write them down. I appreciate the little list that Cheryl sends out twice a day during our time of prayer. And I think it's a wonderful thing what we are doing. I believe that the Lord is hearing. I may not see, but I still believe. I believe the Lord is working. I don't know how, but I still believe. And I don't want us to quit. I want us to continue this effort of crying out to the Lord for these needs. You and I, our name may be on those lists the next time. Some of us are. So I want to read something here that I read in Matthew Henry concerning this scripture that Jesus spoke or asked if he would find faith. Matthew Henry said, it is foretold that when Christ comes, he will find but little faith. He will find few that have faith concerning his coming. Now, we've already been through a series of messages on his coming. We needed to be reminded because our faith can become low like the world. The world lives and nearly teaches that we're going to live forever. This world is going to go through this phase and that phase, and we're going to freeze to death, or else we're going to have temperatures so high. They've swung back and forth, but they don't know God. That God set it in order and it will last. And we don't have to worry about global warming, and we don't have to worry about an ice age. Because down through the years, in our time, you know, they worried about an ice age. Now they worry about the other thing. But they don't know our God. And so they almost act like it's going to live for another million years. I don't believe it is. I have faith that God is going to do what he said he's going to do. And so there's going to be a lot of people that will not have faith of his coming. And the next phrase, next sentence says, it intimates that Christ may and will delay his coming so long that, has he delayed his coming? He has. First, the wicked people will begin to defy it, and his delay will harden them in their wickedness. And secondly, even his own people will begin to despair of it. I felt like that needed to be read here this morning. That you and I can even despair that the Lord is tarrying his coming because of all of the conditions of the world and all that we see. But Jesus said this, just a simple little phrase, have faith in God. That's our message this morning. Have faith in God. And we know what the scripture says, that without faith it is impossible to please him. The scripture there says that you and I must believe that he is God. Do you believe he is God today? You believe he is our God? We've got to do it. We've got to believe it. And we've also got to believe he is a rewarder of all who diligently seek him. So faith in God must be preeminence. When the whole world seems to be discounting God and exercising their lack of faith. So in the face of all of this, when we read the scriptures and says Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever, do we believe it? I believe it. I have faith not to boast, but simply because he's proven himself in the past. God has been our God in the past. He will be our God today, and he will be our God if we wake up tomorrow. So we need to still have faith that he is God. Our major thoughts this morning is having to do with having faith for endurance. There is a scripture in Ecclesiastes, and I'm just going to be giving you some portions of it for the sake of time. It is running out. It says, the race is not to the swift, nor the battle to the strong. That's a portion in Ecclesiastes. And you go over to the New Testament in 1 Corinthians 9:24, and I'm going to put this in some of my words. Do you not know in this race, every runner runs? We're all running a race. Do you not know this race is for an incorruptible crown? That's the latter part of that verse. I skip over to Matthew 24:13, and I add this little part. Do you not know he that endureth to the end shall be saved? The same shall be saved. But you and I must have endurance, and we must have faith for endurance. Then I skip to 2 Timothy 2:3, and it says, endure hardness. Endure hard things as a good soldier. And when I studied that particular verse, it gave another way that it was said under the original Greek. And this is what it said. Take thy share in suffering. It's appointed unto us that we're going to be a tested and a tried people. But we shouldn't be shocked. We should look for it, expect it, because God has help for every one of us in our hard times. But we're going to have to face hard times. We're going to have to face those times when our faith is being tested. And so in this particular passage, Paul is speaking to Timothy, and one of the translations said, suffer hardships with me. And so in reality, we are suffering with one another. The scripture says for you and me to weep with those that weep, mourn with those that mourn. We have the same feelings for each other. Our hearts ache for what we are praying for now. Our tears flow. We are weeping with those that are weeping. We're putting ourselves in their place. But how is our faith in that? Are we going to let it affect our faith that God cannot deliver? What if I would be in that place? Don't we always sort of put ourselves in another's place? And that helps us to be able to understand what they're going through. Another way of saying it was, we are to endure evil. Are we in a evil time? The encouraging part is that you and I can endure by the grace of God. And we can endure even with courage if we seek for it. And we can endure with patience, and patience is a big part of endurance. The latter part of this verse says we are to endure hardness as what? A good soldier. And so he wants us to think of ourselves as soldiers of Christ, as soldiers of the cross. The soldiers of the cross is not a carefree, comfortable life. When you and I embrace our cross and we take up our cross daily and we follow Him, we're saying we're embracing death. We're accepting what He has for us that is hard to bear. And we have to endure hardness. And, you know, if we really looked into what all the soldiers live through, they don't live in comfort. They're trained to live in discomfort. They're trained to live, they don't have a shelter. They're out in the cold, in the weather. And a lot of times they carry on their person all that they need, which isn't a whole lot. They don't have all of the goodies that are at home. They don't carry a candy bar with them just for the pleasure of eating it, see? But they are living a life of something that is hard, and they're doing it for a corruptible crown. But you and I are doing it for an incorruptible crown. We've got to keep our eyes on the goal. The scripture says, let no man take your crown. Well, we might put another word in there. Don't let any hard thing deter you from your crown. I don't see the men exactly, well, it could happen, taking my crown. Then I thought of 2 Corinthians 5 and 7, and it says, walk by faith and not by sight. And you and I are so human, and I'm talking about myself, we want to see results. It's just part of our humanity. When we pray, we expect to see something change. We desire it. And like the thought that Sarah brought this morning from being down in La Ronger, you know, the people there are looking at the scripture of the unjust judge and the widow that didn't give up until she was avenged. That's what you and I are going to have to do and have enduring faith that will not give up. We'll have to keep coming back, making the same request. I don't know, sometimes I say, Lord, help me to say it in another way. Give me the faith of Christ. Give me the righteousness of yourself. So we're going to have to live by faith and not by feelings. We're going to have to not allow the negative that is all about us affect the positive that the Lord wants to encourage us with. God is still hearing prayer. He's still on His throne. He still is working. He is not dead. He will work. He will work. We may not know how, the song says. We may not know when, but He will do it again. He has done it before, and He will do it again. And I thought of the scripture over in Job, and I want to read part of this. It came to me after I was in service this morning, and it spoke about Job saying, I go forward, and He is not there. I go backward. I cannot perceive Him. and on the left hand where he doth work, but I cannot behold him. He hideth himself on the right hand that I cannot see him. That is a special place we might be in now. We may not feel the Lord around us, but we don't give up. We don't quit. But Job said, but he knoweth the way that I take. Lord, I am still going to believe in you. Job had another place, and he said this. He said, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. That's faith. Faith for endurance. Enduring to the end of your trial. Enduring to the end of your life, whichever it is. It still will take faith to have endurance. So then I thought of the scripture over in Psalms, the 27th chapter, verse 14. And it says, wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. And again, wait. Waiting is part of endurance. Yes. It's all part of enduring faith, or having faith to endure. And he will come. He will strengthen. Wait, I say, on the Lord. So we're going to have faith to wait sometimes, but we need to be waiting with expectations. I believe it pleases the Lord when he sees that we are waiting with expectations. And then I thought of Luke 21 and 19. In your patience, possess ye your souls. You know, this word patient could also mean endurance, enduring until the answer comes. I read this somewhere that in the original meaning of patience, this kind of patience is cheerful and hopeful, constant endurance. So there's that word. It still popped in there, and we could read this, the verse, and say, in your endurance, possess ye your souls. Wait on the Lord. So when we lose our patience, have you ever lost your patience? I have. It affects our relationship with the Lord when we lose our patience. And it's the same if we pull back on that endurance of waiting. We can't be as pleasing unto the Lord. The scripture says, without faith, it's impossible to please him. So Lord, help us. So generations, remember this, that every past generation had to have a message of endurance of some kind. There were the generations that suffered persecution. Do you and I suffer that kind of persecution? Are we one of the martyrs? Are we one that face the firing squad tomorrow? We don't. Every generation has some kind of endurance that they must face with faith. I'm not here this morning to proclaim what it is in our generation other than my opinion. I feel that it's more divine healing is our endurance. The attack on faith for divine healing. It's my opinion. It seems as though that we are praying more for the people that need healing than anything else. But there have been other generations that have just barely survived. There were people that hardly had any food to eat. Sometimes they were starved to death. You and I are not there. We eat square meals every day. We live in the most prosperous time of all time. We really are a blessed people. But it can hinder our faith. It's when you and I are put, shall I say, under the gun. When you and I have to suffer something, some hard thing, it puts us to our knees. It causes us to seek more of the faith to endure this thing, whatever it is. We can have troubles. We can have heartache. We can have the disappointment. And yet we're having to endure to the end of all of those things. We're having to endure to the end of this life or we won't be saved. If we give up, what good will it be? I said in the Sunday school, spoke about maybe the temptations that the ministers go through. It's not a temptation to flatter the people and only say what they want to hear and it makes them feel good. It's not that. It's an attack that the enemy tries to discourage, tries to oppress, tries to hinder. It's that which can become something to endure. And I spoke about the two voices. There's always two voices when you're tempted to give up, quit, there will always be a still small voice and it will tell you the right thing to do. And you will know it. You will feel a witness in your heart. I know this is the right thing to do, but there's another voice. And you have heard me testify about this. It happened a number of years ago, but it was one of the hardest temptations and battles that I had. And there was a line that was drawn in front of me. Not a literal line. I can still see it in my mind. And the temptation was just step across the line. You will never have to preach again. It wasn't that I was being drawn to sin or the world. It was rejecting the call. And I had that for 3 months every day. I wept. I shed many tears. The temptation was so great. It was like a magnet. And then one day, the Lord came. He caused me to look away from the line, and I saw a city set on a hill. And even then, I looked back one more time. It was so strong. You see how the enemy wants to hinder the word of God? Because it will hinder someone else if we're not fulfilling our callings. If God places us in the body to fill a place, He wants us to stay in that place. And He wants us to stay till the end. Endure it. Endure the temptations. Endure the disappointments, the struggles. So for this generation, I believe we're called to be patiently enduring, waiting for the Lord, looking for Him, for His day is going to come. And we're waiting in the midst of darkness and evil. And anything else that you want to describe out there, you know what it is. But he wants us to endure with faith. So you and I must maintain our faith in these last days. And again, will he find it in you? I want him to find it in me. I'm going to close now with a scripture in Revelations 2 and 10. A familiar scripture, but also an encouraging scripture. Fear none of these things which thou shalt suffer. So all of the things that we imagine might come upon us, don't fear them. There is only grace for you and me when the thing comes upon us. And his grace will be sufficient when that would happen. It says, behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that ye may be tried, and ye shall have tribulation. But be ye faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. Let us keep our eye on the goal. Let us be faithful unto death. Let us seek God to have an increase of faith without fearing to ask for it. Many people will say, oh, I'm afraid to ask for more patience. I'm afraid to ask for more faith because, and then their imaginations begins to work. Don't be afraid to ask. We need it. We need to patiently endure to the end. And we need to have more faith. We cannot have too much faith. We need the faith of Christ. So pray for me. I want to have faith when he returns. Amen.